سنی ہمارا سنی کے For everything that we see, there's a rise and there's a fall. You don't see anything in this world that just goes on rising. The religions came in the past and they went up, and there was an expiry date. And everything collapsed. Up until the expiry date, it's flowing well, things were working out. And the reason was obvious, that the security of Allah Ta'ala was with it. It had a date, till that day, it was secure. And then when it expired, security also lifted and people started doing their own things. Someone overstepped the mark in beliefs. So they said there were three, one in the Trinity. Someone say he is God, in Allah, huwa al-Masih ibn Maryam. All overstepped their marks, even in the articles of faith. And then, what an illogical thing to say that he is God. So the question that comes up, alright, God is a being that was always and that will be always. And if you talk about Jesus, he came about. So, then, who was God before that? Who was the God before that? Because he came, he wasn't. And according to their belief, he died. Right? Well, we don't believe in the same, but this is what they say. So then, who was the God before that time? So it's so illogical. Then when you say it's illogical, listen, then some aspects of faith is beyond your reasoning. Yes, there are things that are beyond reasoning, but it's not illogical. Yes, our minds cannot go to that level, but it's not illogical. So here you're saying God is always, and then God wasn't around. And then God died, then in the time that he died, then who was the God then? Okay, so it's illogical things. They say that the whole idea is to spread the missionary work. So they send missionaries throughout the world. It would seem like it's more political, because they're not worried about faith, they're not worried about righteousness, they're not worried about living a life of chastity. It is just about politics. And how they can get the political thing moving is get everybody on the same page. So when you get everybody on the same page, then it's nice, easy to drive them. But if one is going in one direction, the other is going in a different direction, is it going to be easy to move them? So the easy way is to get them all moving in the same direction, then we can drive them. So they send their missionaries to different areas. So the idea is to gain control. See? And as I say, to gain control, they have to have people on the same page. Then they can gain control. Otherwise, how can they gain control? So they send someone to China. He battled, one is the language, Ching Chong language, and one is to communicate things of faith to them, becomes even more difficult. After some years, he thought he found some success, got some conversions. So he contacted his people in Rome and wherever the centers were, see, I'm winning here, and I have so many supporters. He didn't realize supporters were just for the hampers. Coming to the hampers, enjoying themselves, and doing whatever they want them to do for that day, for that moment. Say, Merry Christmas, Jesus, all that. Finish after that. So anyway, he contacted his people to organize a grand conference. We call it a jalsa. They'll call it a conference. Call them all. And then, now in the jalsa, obviously he'll have to prove himself what he's done for this period. So he called one of those people that he felt this person has already progressed now. He's understood the whole message. So comes onto the stage and he's giving his whole account. He says, first there were three gods and one died. There's only two from that time till now. So the priest got very, very disappointed. You know, I spent so many years on this chap here, and this is the report I'm getting. In front of all my people here, he's embarrassed me. Disappointed, threw him out. So he thought, no, but this person here never let me down. He's a champion. Any situation, he'll make it work. So now he's intelligent, smart, understanding, called him onto the stage. He thought, now this person will win the whole day for us. Now we say he's the guest speaker. So he's the guest speaker, he's the main person. We're waiting for him. So he comes onto the stage. So he says, you see, our priest told us to speak the truth, be honest. So we'll be honest. We won't be speaking a lie. See? So he drummed this into our mind that one is three and three is one. So we can't go against that now. He told us one is three and three is one. So he kept on saying that one is three and three is equal to one. So the one died, then three went away. From that time till now, there's no God. Finish. So, one is to be above the reasoning, and one is against reasoning. So, when we say sifat and mutashabihat, it's above our reasoning, right? That our minds can't take us to that level. Like someone asked one ant, can you tell me the literage of the water of the oceans? You know, beyond me, I can't. I can just think about one well or one small river I can think about. My mind can't go so far. That's my limitation. So our human limitation, we can't understand the extent of the glory, perfection, greatness, grandeur, magnanimity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And think till the point that we can observe and see beyond that, can't. So that's the sifat of Allah ta'ala, the attributes of Allah ta'ala. It's beyond our reason, not against the reasoning, but beyond the reasoning. Sometimes we talk to ulama, they mix it up. In sifat they say against reasoning. So that's not the word, it's beyond reasoning. But this, what they talk is against the reasoning, illogical. So they miss the articles of faith in this way. Then they miss the actions also. See, when I said the divine protection was raised, that no lover could take care of it. So now when the divine protection was raised, so they messed up the articles of faith and they messed up their deeds as well. So how they messed up the deeds? They said, see, he died for your sins. There was one Jew that used to come around some years back, and he passed away. As a Jew, then he converted to a Christian, then he became Muslim and died as a Muslim. So a couple of times, Jamaluddin, very jolly person, too much of sugar, so he amputated his feet and met him all that. So sometimes amusing himself, I like your uncle, you know. So what's so great about him that you like him? Uncle is also dead now, it's finished. So now he mixes up the tea with the coffee and has enjoyed this new thing. New concept anyway. Jamaluddin. But very intelligent. He studied Judaism, studied Christianity very well. And then after all that, then he came into Islam. When he came to Islam, some of these people, they become thorough Muslims. He says about himself, As you remember, Azizi Rahmatullah explained that if you get into the toilet or into the masjid with the wrong foot, then get out and come in the right way. And he says, you know, the amount of goodness I feel when I did that mistake, I came out and I did it in the right way, the goodness that I would feel thereafter. We will say Nur, say Sukun, but he doesn't know these terms. He says, the goodness that I feel. So there must be that goodness. Why would be the goodness? Because the whole deen is about acknowledging and accepting. And if you don't have the heart to acknowledge and accept, then you close the doors for you. Now the Jews did that. Shaitan did the same thing. And the Jews did the same. And they went and said, وَقَالُوا قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفٌ. Unfortunately, ulama also read the Quran Sharif. Very seldom do we take out the time to understand what is the message. What is Allah passing on to us? Is there any similarity between our action and the Jewish behavior? Do you ever think about that? In a translation, the grammar, the nahu and that, and it's finished after that. So I did my work, I did the grammar, I thought the sabak finished, now uske baad, then what you want? Qaheed, li kulli ayatin zahru wa batn. There's a surface meaning, and there's a deeper meaning. The deeper meaning requires to think. Employ your mind. Understand what is the message Allah Pak is conveying to me. So they said, what? وَقَالُوا قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفٌ. Our hearts are in wrappings. What it means? When they say wrappings, that nothing alien will come into our hearts because our hearts are well preserved. So we talk about Islam and all that, that thing doesn't come into our heart. Because now our hearts are in wrappings. And what they said, we'll only believe in that ma unzila alayna, what was sent down to us. So the whole religion became a racial thing, that it must come to us for us to believe, and if it didn't come to us, then we're not prepared to believe. See that? See, that's pure Satanism. Because what they're doing is they're claiming exclusivity for themselves. We're an exclusive race. And this Quran says it in different verses. One is, they say, Abna'ullah, we are the children of Allah Ta'ala. Then we say, Ahibba'u, we are the favorite. Exclusive, this is exclusive belief, exclusivity. Then they're saying, Lantamassana nar, we all going straight Jannat. Some gunegar, 1-2 days he'll spend there scot-free. Again, what? Showing, impressing upon the rest of mankind that we are an exclusive race. We have exclusive rights. So they said what? Ulubuna gulf. Our hearts are in wrappings, preserved. Now, the thing is that is catching on now amongst the public and amongst the learned also. Not only the public, but it's catching on in the learned, the educated. And it's catching on, it's going on quite far. Fast it's going. I just mentioned to someone, came here for some work, so I said, see, is zamane ka fitna kya hai? So I told him, see, dilon mein dard nahi hai aur dar nahi. There's no concern and there's no fear. No fear and no concern. See, this is what the West is pushing. How you got that? I don't know about the West. I know about the best in me. But the worst, I don't know. West and the worst, I don't know. But the best, I know about that. Talk to me about the best, leave the worst. To the West. So he's telling me, they call it the nuance approach. What? That person, that friend of mine is telling me, they call it the nuance. He knows about all these things. Yeah. Now, we've got the time. Our kitabos se fursat nahi. Kya aur kuch dekhenge? So he said, no, they call it the nuance approach. So, the nuance approach, what it means, that there is something that's not good, then show the economic harms, the social harms, but don't become personal, emotional about it. What? Don't become emotional and personal about it. Show the social harms, show the economical harms. So then it made me thinking, so if someone works it out in such a way, say Algy, he could free himself from the social harms and the economical harms, then what's wrong with Algy then? Is anything wrong? That means we left the Quran, left the Hadith, left Ijma, and left Qiyas, and even Mr. Kafir knew nuance. So who became your guide now? Nuance. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not the guide, the Quran is not the guide, Ijma is not the guide, and Qiyas is not the guide. If there's a guide, who's your guide? Mr. Kafir nuance. That's your guide. Now, what a dangerous game. See, the game, who is playing, whether it's professional people, whether it's people of the public, whether it's ulama, but it's a very dangerous game. See, you're playing, you're rocking that person's iman. And the iman is the most sacred thing to be secured, to be protected. See. I mentioned once before, but I'm just repeating it, around 1980 when I came, you know. So there used to be a group of youngsters conducting tafsir in the top masjid. The madrasa thing was nothing else. And hardly any Arabic in it. Zakaria and Azhar didn't start yet. 1980. So everybody started about 83 after the Sheikh had come and left. Perhaps the Barakat just sprang up from that point. But till then there was nothing. So anyway, so they started the tafsir there in the top masjid. Mawlana Harun Sahib Rahmatullah, by nature, is very soft. You don't see him, don't know him personally. I knew him personally, very, very soft. He'll cry. So soft he was. And then he's new in the area, so he doesn't know what's going on, because he's new. Hudhud, if he discovered something, does it mean that he's superior to Sulaiman alayhi salam? No. So it doesn't mean, but he brought something to the attention of Sulaiman alayhi salam. But Sulaiman alayhi salam had to be malam to hidbi. I have got what you don't know. Had to be malam to hidbi. But there are small little things like that, and that is telling the Nabi, had to be malam, I know what you don't know. So anyway, so I saw this tafsir class going on. No. I'm thinking, I'm still, it's coming from India now first. So, we need to stop this thing, but how to stop it? Because it's all a modernist crowd. And I think most of them have died now, those that were in the class, and some of them have moved away, so I can talk about it freely. Because they're not around now. So, dead men don't carry any tales, finished. So anyway, I said the best approach now will be to go and participate in the class. Because I heard already this thing is carrying on, and they'll ask, Bhai, Tumari kya rai, what's your opinion about this? What's your opinion? What's your opinion? So if I'm a member of that, so they'll ask me also. So I already worked out, I preempted in my mind, so it's going to happen. So I went and joined the tafsir class as they were running. So they had some verses, Yusuf Ali translation. What's your opinion? What's your opinion? They came to me, what's your opinion? So I said, alright, you know, you're still young, so you're a little bit revved up. So I said, alright, I just want to know, you know, it's a nuanced approach. There mustn't be emotions, there mustn't be sentiments. Just show the social harms and the economical harms. Don't show the other things. Don't become emotional. And I say this is not that nuanced approach, it's kafir, shaitanic approach. Because minus the economical, social approach, then this is supposed to be right. So you worked it out, and you combed out, you ironed out all that approaches. Now, we need to work on the iman. And when we need to work on the iman, then they are doing something on the basis of iman, or they abandoning something on the basis of iman. Not economical or whatever, right? Because you look at economical thing, right? Zakat, can you see any economical fayda? You sadaqah, no economical. So anyway, I asked him, alright, you know, I just want to know from your own understanding. You know, we're looking at it from a nuanced approach. So look at economical and social problems in this thing here, right? So I ask you, what is the social harms and the economical harms in zina? Fornication. Show me. So for that moment, I'm surprised now that there are quite a few educated people in that, right? And all we're all silent. Nobody's saying. I just ask, this randomly, I just ask one question. So what's the economical and social problems in zina? Well, they're quiet. Because they can't see the problem with that, because economically it may be cheaper. If it's consensual, right? So do you have to pay for anything? Yeah? Got in touch with someone. And it's consensual. When it's consensual, then you're not paying for anything. Muslim will be acharya. They say, Nana Abba ke Fatiha mein mithai ki taqseem. No, halwai ki dukaan mein, Nana Abba ki Fatiha. So this is what I'm saying now. If I explain that, it'll take some more time. Time is all limited here. So what's the economical? So no nuksan at all. So I said, alright, you can't answer that one. Perhaps the most you can say, if there's a child that's born, right, then there won't be any parental direction for the child. Yeah, that's the reason. So, alright. Now, you know, you ironed out the economical, social problems. Right. So, alright. If both parties, they have taken some preventive measures for any child to be born, now what's wrong in that now? Again, they took all the protection, preventive measures, nothing had happened, right? Blocked up, whole blockage, the obstruction. How is that obstruction? Kuch ho sakta. So now what's wrong? So then that means now there's no economical problems, there's no social problems, so zina is permissible now, because the problem was because of economical and social. There's no such problem, so it's very permissible. So you move them from Allah Ta'ala to Mr. Kafir Nuans. So that's what happened. So I said, at that point you have to say it is the command of Allah Ta'ala, therefore it is haram. We don't train people to believe in their own reasoning. Because you've got 50 people here, 50 people will be reasoning in 50 different ways. Then now, and whose mind will be the criteria? His mind is taking one way, his mind is taking in a different way. So then what would be the real gauge? Can you understand what's the gauge then? So at some point you have to say it is the command of Allah Ta'ala, so therefore this is prohibited and therefore this is obligatory. This is makruh and this is wajib because it's the command of Allah Ta'ala. That is blocked, finished. And for a moment, I'm trying to understand, you know, that they talk of logic and reasoning. But for approximately 90 years now, they're talking of Darwin and evolution. Up till now, they can't find any conclusive arguments to support it. No, nothing conclusive. Up till now, they say it's a hypothesis. We can't prove it still. They speak about a Big Bang. Up till now, they can't find anything categorical, anything conclusive. But they go with that. And the whole world, any person that's going to university, he'll write about it. Totally illogical, but they just use scientific terms, flowery terms, to block all the stupidity, and people will go with it. Nobody will ask. Beyond that, they won't ask. See how they block the ignorance. But that's a subject on its own. So anyway, I had to impress upon them that this is the command of Allah Ta'ala, therefore this is haram. The command of Allah Ta'ala, that is, this is why there is halal. Anyway, when I came to that point, and all of them were silent. The next week they stopped the thing, complete. No program. All right. When they stopped it now, I'm thinking to myself, so at that time the crowd was different. We're talking about 80s, 1980. Some years, 44 years ago, right? So the crowd was different, understanding was different. Right? But they stopped it straight away. So then I'm thinking to myself, if this is going to be stopped, nobody's going to be doing it, then their comment on this will be, khud to karte nahi, aur dusre ko karne nahi dete. Not doing it yourself, then you're not allowing someone else to do it. So then I had to just start it off. And I spoke to Maharajan Sahib, the trustees, so then I started off. So then I started off. In the 1857, we know that was the mutiny, right? They fought against the English, or the Deoband ulama fought against the English. We know about the mutiny, right? So there are many bodies all strewn around, and one Banya. Now they really get food lovers, so you get money lovers. So money lovers, they call them Banya, and a word of respect is they call Lalaji. Popat or Lalaji, these all the Banyas, they use that word. Like a respectful word or a loving, caring word. So now a Muslim is incapacitated, can't walk. So he saw a Banya, it's about, it's past Maghrib time, in dark. He saw the Lalaji moving. So Lalaji, Mere Himyan, my belt, Usme, so. Sone ke sikke hai, 100 Kruger coins, golden Kruger coins, I got 100. He even heard that, he pushed all his fears away, mouth started watering, and he's frightened. He said, hey man, I'm telling you I got 100 coins, just see here. As he came in reach, he took his sword, chopped his head, chopped his leg. Now he said, but you spoke to me about the gold, and you came and chopped my feet. What's wrong with you? What did you do? Say, don't be stupid now. Do you hear of anybody going to war with all gold? But then what prompted you to believe in this? He said, you know, the night was approaching, evening, and all bodies are out here, and I'll be alone to all these bodies. So you incapacitated, I be incapacitated, I can't move, you can't move, at least Rab ki baatein ek dusre se karte rahenge. I'll sing my songs of grief and you'll sing, the night will pass, come out like that. So khud karte, that Hindu is saying, khud karte nahi aur dusre ko karte nahi. So that's what prompted us to do that, to start it off. So we're going back on this subject, right? I'm showing you how much against it is. See, we're listening to everybody. And Thangai Sahib Rahmatullah says it very well. He says, Purana ulama kiram mein khair kyun thi? Why there was so much of good in the old ulama kiram? And you don't see that amount of good coming out and flowing in this day. But you're saying you saw a notable amount of good flowing in the old. Why not like this? This is the day these people entered the madrasa, then they shunned all other relationships. They didn't allow any other alien thought to influence them. The only thing that influenced them is the senior ulama and asatiza. Most senior, who they thought was most righteous, they allowed that influence to prevail over them. So every other influence, they divorced, and this was the influence that prevailed, that permeated them. So that influence went deep into them. So everything else was gone. This was that Sibghat Allah, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ سِبْغَةً. It was like the color of Allah Ta'ala. The baptizing is wrong because even Christianity, as though it is like a baptism, but they're baptized by their akabir. Seeing it that they saw, felt them to be closest to the Sunnah, to the Hadith, so they divorced themselves from everything else, every other influential, everything other influence. They allowed this influence to run into their minds. So that began to run their lives. And now when they come in, then the ustad is not a senior person any longer. He's just like a university teacher. University teacher, what he does, is just a business partner you got, right? So I need you for the business, so I learn from you. As the business is over, then you part ways. You go your way, and I go my way. That's the position of a university teacher. So the ustad became, the senior ustad also became, just a teacher, so nothing else. And you get these complaints coming all the time. Today also there's a complaint that the child left to go somewhere, wherever, for a couple of good days, but he didn't meet his seniors, teachers, nothing. And he came back to the town doing namaz in the same surf, but there's no need to meet the teacher. Why must I meet the teacher? I must be the senior person. But now, that cold relationship, so that means the minds are absorbed in something else. Something else. He's not absorbed in Allah Ta'ala, in His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and in the people of Deen. And something else has overtaken the mind. And something else has overtaken the mind. And there's no room for Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul to permeate. Something foreign, something alien, that has taken control over the situation. Now, again, we're talking about this nuanced approach. You know, I drift a little bit. See, now how wrong it is, and I say it's totally shaitanic. Unfortunately, everybody is doing it. They're not showing what is the hadith, what is the Quran showing. So I was teaching the hadith to the students this year. So it was about the Jews, right? And their behavior with their wives. That in the days of Hayz, when they are their monthlies, then they don't sit on the same table, they don't sleep in the same room. So they sleep in separate rooms and they eat separately. They don't share the table, nor do they share the bed separately. So there's two Sahaba, Abbad and some other Sahaba, you know, Usaid, radiallahu anhu, you see. أَفَلَا نَنْكِحُوهُمْ. So we'll go right against them. Right? We'll go totally against them. We go and sleep with them also, intimate with them. So at that moment, فَتَمَعَرَ وَجْهُ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. You could see that there was total disappointment, emotionally affected. So to show emotions, to show anger, to show emotions, at the time you're supposed to be showing emotions and anger is sunnah. But the Nabi wouldn't have done it. And not to show it is against the sunnah. So Nabi showed it. فَتَمَعَرَ وَجْهُ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, giving a suggestion, but is totally against his teaching. When it's totally against his teaching, so Nabi's face had changed. And he expressed his aversion for it. Expressed it. Emotionally, it was affected. Right? And all the teaching here is, don't show emotions, don't express any anger. And here, Nabi is expressing the anger. Right? Anyway, it's a long hadith, but after they look at it, there's another lesson in the hadith. فَاسْتَقْبَلَهُمْ لَبَلٌ, right? هَدِيَةٌ. So as they were leaving, someone brought some milk as a present. Right? So sometimes I ask the students, that the word in the Quran Sharif for milk is laban. But now, today, the usage is laban is for yogurt and curd. I don't know how it fits in. Because, min butuni ash, that nusqikum min mafi butuni, min baini farsi mudamin, laban. It's not about curd, it's about laban. But now, the usage today is laban is gone to halib. So, how, where this thing started, I don't know. A different chapter now altogether. So anyway, as that milk came in, as a gift, Susan called for these two Sahabi, Abbad and Usaid again, he presented. So now, there's two lessons to be learned here. One lesson was, they made a suggestion, but the suggestion was against the teaching of Rasulullah Pasad, the core teaching of Rasulullah Pasad. So Rasulullah Pasad had to show disappointment and an aversion, right? But when they showed some remorse, etc., right, when the Milk came in, and immediately her Swedish son called for them and granted it to them, showing that, see, that disappointment was because of this, not of any personal reasons, not a vendetta. So now you also enjoy of this, right? So, but now, how do you understand, how do you make a difference? Right? The intention was right. Shouldn't we be intimate in these days? Right? So the intention was right. Intention was to go against the Jew, the Christian. Right? To go against them. That was the intention. And to oppose them is part of the teaching of Rasulullah, go against them. Right? So yes, we will oppose them, but in which matters we will not oppose them. In core principle matters, they will not oppose. Like the hadith says, "Ahfush shawarib," right? "Wa'ful luha," cut off your moustache and lengthen the beard, right? So if they start trimming the beard, we won't keep long beard. Long. If they keep, they start trimming the moustache, we will not lengthen the moustache, right? And if they start keeping beards, we will start shaving the beards. Why? That's the core teaching of Rasulullah SAW. And under no circumstances will go against it. Right? Because the core teaching. But if it's something additional, something not the core teaching, then it may be subject to adjustments. Like for example, Naha ani at-takhattum fil-yamin aw yasar. Or the hadith which says, "Sallu fi ni'alikum fa inna al-yahuda la yusalluna fi ni'alim." Right? So they will go against it. But that is not the main teaching of Rasulullah Pasam. It's an additional thing. If it's an additional thing, then we can trim it. It's an additional thing. But that's a different category altogether. But the core things we will not do. Now, to understand what's the core and what's the addition is not everybody's work. See, I know now this is the core and this is an addition, that's not your work. That now, those people that have spent their whole lives in Quran and Hadith, etc., they will understand what is core and what is additional. Everybody, if I know he could do it, why can't I do it? He can see it, why can't I see it? Like for example, this is showing core things, right? Rasulullah wasn't allowed women to come to the masjid, right? But now, then after that, from Aisha and many Sahaba Kiram, they strongly went against it. But here it was allowed. Here they stopped it. Lo alim al Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam ma ahdath al nisa'u wa mana'a min al masajid kama muniyat nisa'u bani Israel, would have stopped it. So they discouraged, although it was not sunnah at that time. Now the Aisha says no. So now the ulama kiram, great jurists, now they had to sit down and work out why did Rasulullah Paksam, in what, under what were the circumstances that were allowing this, and what's the circumstance that is current, what was then and what's current. So then they made some laws. They said, hey, if there's going to be ikhtilatu rijal ma'an nisa, mixing up, if there's going to be women coming out adorned, right, if there's going to be women coming out perfumed, right, and if there's going to be a fear of fitna, the word in the kitab is haram. Now it was permissible, and now they're saying it is haram. Well, fitnatu ashaddu min al-qatl. Because fitna is worse than murder. See that? Here it was allowed, and now they got together. Even Imam Ahmad Rahman says that it's only permissible lil ajais. Old woman now, 85, 90 years old, she can go to the watering, she can go to the masjid, alright. Right? But others, they all allowed it. Now we bypass them and say, no, show me the hadith. As though now he surpassed the fuqaha kiram. They were all cutting grass. They didn't know what they were doing. So now today, show me the hadith. Which hadith says it? So then I ask you, show me all the sahih, pure, clean hadith, which shows that 20 rakats of tarawih was read in the day of Rasulullah Paksal. Show me that you're giving two azans on a Jummah, right? Show me from the sahih hadith. Can you show? Now, the right thing is that those people who spend all their lives to understand these things here, right? And it had a record that was clean and clear. Just follow that record and you won't go wrong. But now you moved away from this. Can you now monitor the whole thing? Can you monitor it? I'm getting reports coming from several places, right? From students and others as well. They come and tell you that we go to this mosque, which is our town. And in the parking area, then boyfriend, girlfriend, they can talk. They're chatting on freely. They can talk, no problem. But it's already happened. They started off, and look, then what are they, why are they entering the masjid? Why are they going? What are they going for? For entertainment or for a worship? What are they going for? I look at this, you know, I said, new ones approach. Look at another hadith. To show that this is batil, this is shaitanic. Right? Rasulullah SAW comes to the masjid and he sees some mucus, right, on the direction of the Qibla, al-awajil Qibla, which was the Qibla, and someone's mucus was there, right. Now first to understand, first must remember, the masjid then, the floor was sand, right? That was the floor, right. So he saw the mucus on the direction of the Qibla. So for kharaja mughdiban, the word of the hadith, mughdiban. So you could see the anger on the face of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You could see mughdiban, that's the word, right? And then he said, number two, in expression of anger and disapproval, la ya'ummannakum hadha abadan. This person must no longer be the imam. So he wanted to lead the namaz. When he wanted to lead the namaz, Sahaba Kiram said, you mustn't be the imam. So the Muslim, then he came to the Muslim and said, إِنَّكَ آذَيْتَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. You have hurt Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because when you are standing up in namaz, then فَاللَّهُ أَمَامَكَ, Allah Ta'ala is before you. Right? You imagine now, if you're having a talk with me, or I'm having a talk with you, right? And you spit on me. Right? So like as though you spat on Allah Ta'ala. And what you see now must have a nuanced approach. Mustn't become emotional. Don't become angry. I say, is that logical? Huh? Is that logical? I'm talking to you and you're spitting on me. I say, no, must have a nuanced approach. Don't become emotional. Huh? Now this is totally illogical and shaitanic. So the class today was discussed this year. So see, the simple example is, give me a simple example, right? I'm just giving my own words. So, you battle and you got 100 gold Kruger cans, coins, right? What's about how much? 50 carats, 50, 60,000, right? So, the day before, you spoke about being good and thrifty, generous, poor, etc. So, the poor man came to the house. So, you count how many? You got 100 coins, 100, 200 coins. So, that was. So you ask the poor man, alright, how many children you got? I got 10 children. So they take this 100 and 10 each on the sega. All of you must take in 10 each. Now the Abba comes in and he sees all that gold is missing. And he says, no Abba, you know you told us must be generous. So I took everything out and I gave all the poor. Tell me, at that moment you have a nuanced approach. Tell me the truth. Majid? Why? So the Sharia, Allah's property can be disrespected, it's alright. Allah's property, they must have a nuanced approach. But my property, you must be careful about my property. That's what it amounts to, isn't it? That what belongs to Allah Ta'ala, then you can just trim and chop and however you want. But my own property, my wealth, you dare touch that thing and see what happens to you. Won't you have that? So what's the difference? Your property versus Allah's property. But now, is this reasoning right? Is that reasoning right? So when we move away from our akabir, our elders, our satisa, then we allow everybody else to come and influence our thought, our minds. Everything begins to influence. Right. Right. Someone sent me a whole article for 1.5 page. It's all England statue and the harms of the phones and how it's destroyed the education system. The education system, how it's messed down just because of the phone. Now they're talking about not allowing in the school, or they must have a box. When the child comes to the school, they must put into the box and then leave. So the education has gone down. They can see it at least 50%. That's the stats are showing, English stats are showing, 50% down. So even if we ask them not to bring it to the school, then too, their minds are affected. They can't absorb as well as they're supposed to absorb because their minds are on the phone. See that? Now that English stats will listen to. But when the ulama is saying, why it's all haram, there's pictures, there's porn, etc., that we don't want to listen. See our minds. Minds are just taking a somersault. Allah Pak and His Nabi Sun, no more feature. Yes, what is the stats? What's happening in England? What's happening here? What's happening there? So where's Allah Ta'ala then? Where is Nabi Sun? Do we give them that position that they are eligible for? Or we're giving kuffar the position of Allah Ta'ala and the position of Nabi Sun? Where's our minds gone? See this, how this old ulama, how they thought. They didn't allow any other alien influence to run their lives. If they allowed, it was Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that reigned, that ruled over their lives. One, قَوْلًا مِنَ إِذَا دُعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Right? One is the kafir, إِذَا فَرِيقٌ مِنْهُمْ مُؤْدُونَ. Right? And the Muslim, when they are called, their whole response is different. Same way, أَنْ يَقُولُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. Straight away they say, we hear and we obey. No reservation, no hesitation. I just need to know is the command of Allah Ta'ala and the command of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and I must give in straight away, no reservation. Otherwise, what's happened to iman? Which iman want to? So we are speaking about this human's approach, right? And this whole week this thing was running, right? So running, I had to just address the whole thing to re-correct and realign our faith and our iman. You know, it's not a thing to be speaking about, but the people are relating dreams, right? And many of these dreams are showing clearly that the level of intellectual apostasy is running, breaking the ceiling also. That's why I'm hearing now. The level of intellectual apostasy, in other words, irtidad. Irtidad is going over that, right? So the importance of coming back, you will follow them. So logically, perhaps you may incur some loss, you know. See, do the business like this, do it like this, don't do it like that. So logically, you may incur some loss. But that loss can be covered up. Because it's not a train smash. Lose today, tomorrow Allah will give you something. Not a train smash. But no, for that economic security, any type of barrier can be crossed. Interest, insurance, anything. Try and somehow just legalize it. Then there is no barrier then. Then what's the need of the Sharia then? Ask. What's the need? Is there a need for the Sharia? Legalize, look for a plan here, for something. Legalize it. Then what can happen to the person after that? So everything becomes legal. There's no prohibition then. So that I was speaking about the Jamaluddin. I said, the faith they already messed up. But he says now that the action, I'm giving my own words, the action also they messed up. Because then he's explaining after that, says Jamaluddin. He says, what is the meaning of Christianity? What is the essence? So at that time we didn't know, but he explained. Then after that we started hearing, we had the same story. He says, the essence of Christianity is, he died for your sins. So now that was a license to commit sin any harm. Zina, fornication, LG, whatever. Everything is legal because he died for your sins. Right? So then, from that day till now, all sins are maafed. Everything is maafed. So there is no faith and there is no action. The faith is gone, the action is gone. But he died for your sins. When he died for your sins, then everything can be chopped, trimmed, and adjusted. So you don't need to have any prohibitions in your system. You don't need to have any prohibition. So, but I'll show you the downside of this thing here, right? So there was a white person came around, right? But very wealthy, like he was working in his estate and all that, he wanted some advice. So he's talking of his life. He's very wealthy. They everywhere, investments everywhere. So he's explaining his their lives. This is now, we don't get married. The more above average white, we don't get married at all. Why? Because they're getting married in COP, community of property, right? And now everything is materialistic. When it's materialistic, so this is getting married for the convenience. So after 2-3 years, she knows you know, just file for divorce and take half your property.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.